This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
It is time to go outdoors. We've done it for years with Steve Kearney and the website, stevekearneyoutdoors.com. Ice fishing front and center. Steve, number one, how was your week? The good, the bad? Hopefully a lot of good.
Good, bad, and the ugly, right? yeah. Good afternoon, Steve. Yeah, it was a good week. Boy, we made some good ice this week. It was about 10 inches out there in the North Country. I'm still walking out. I'm still a little bit leery about taking a machine out right now, but walking out has, you know, been working very well. The panfish bite is awesome right now. Everything's pretty shallow. Walleyes, crappies, bluegills under 14 feet, which is typical. And I've been switching to plastics a lot. I'm not using any live bait, just using small plastics and, you know, just working them. It's been pretty good. I was pretty impressed this week. And, you know, the weather kind of moderated, which really helped. You know, it was so cold there for a while, and we got into the 20s and 30s, and that really kind of kick-started things a little bit. So right now it looks good. And I see Monday, Tuesday, there's a little bit of a hiccup coming in, which might affect things. But for the most part, a lot of people out today, a lot of four-wheelers and snowmobiles running around, and a lot of people ice fishing. This is probably the first official weekend of everybody getting out, you know, safely. So, you know, we're blessed with really good ice, very solid, no snow cover at all. It's really weird. It's super clear. But, you know, so far, so good.
Yeah, and Steve, we don't really see any major snow events between now and next weekend. We know that could change, but with each passing day and each passing week, that just means the ice is getting better. And then if we do get the big snow event, hey, we're in good shape for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, you know, right now it's shaping up to be the best probably in the last 5 years. I mean, if we can get another week of cold, then, you know, big wheelhouses can get out there. People will start driving. But right now it looks good. There's no hiccups at all. A lot of the ice is just super clear. No heaves, no cracks almost everywhere I've been. So it's starting out to be really a good season. And, you know, another week, I think it's really going to make a big difference. And like you say, not a lot of snow, which is good. It's holding off. Having a little bit of trouble finding good green weeds right now, which can be a real key at this time of the year. But my best success has really been really fast break lines close to shore that really drop fast. And, you know, fish like that because they have a place to exit if they have to, you know, a fast retreat. And, you know, they really like those fast breaks. And a lot of these fish are right on the edges of those breaks. But early morning has been really good, 7 to 9, 9:30, and then it's basically over till about 4, 4:30. And then you get about an hour and a half walleye bite, crappie bite. So like it usually is, Steve, it's, you know, early morning, you know, late afternoon, evening. But the problem, it kind of conflicts with my bow hunting. I'm still trying to get that second deer. I'm so frustrated.
Yeah, well, there's always this week, I would assume you're going to try and do both.
Actually, on Tuesday, Steve, I had a buck come by on the blind side of my ground blind and stuck his head right in front of my window.
Oh,
and I couldn't do anything because he was too close. He was probably, 7 yards from me, and I couldn't draw my bow, but it was really kind of a cool encounter. And, you know, that's the problem with ground blind. Sometimes, you know, these deer can be too close and you can't do anything. So that was pretty exciting. But, we, you know, we have a couple more weeks left. This is the last weekend of the muzzleloader season. That ends tomorrow. And then we archers, we have about 2 weeks, and then it's pretty much over.
Yeah, and you still have pheasants. Any plans to chase some pheasants?
Actually, Steve, I am focused on getting this deer in the last 2 weeks. I'm on a mission, and
okay.
I'm frustrated, but I'm on a mission. So I want to get that done first, and then there'll be some time. I think the pheasant season goes to like January 2nd, so there's still some time.
All right, Steve, hopefully you have good news to share next Saturday on the program. Have a great week.
I'm going to sure try, Steve. Have a good weekend.
All right, there he is, Steve Kearney. Steve Kearney Outdoors. He's been joining us on the weekends for years. And by the way, our outdoors coverage continues tomorrow. Rob Dreisline from the Outdoor News. He's in between 5 and 6. He has great guests, a lot of great info. Rob from the Outdoor News, Sunday is between 5 and 6 here on News Talk. A3OWCCO coming up next, Kevin Lynch. We talk Timberwolves. They beat the Lakers. The Timberwolves starting to round into form as we head for the holidays. Kevin's thoughts here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. Sports Saturday underway, and there are scores. And not a ton of good news for the two teams from Minnesota. As a matter of fact, no good news. D2 semifinals, Minnesota on the road at Valdosta State. And the number one seed wins at 35-21. But what a great run for the Mavericks this year. We'll have a game report from the Mavericks play-by-play man Aaron Worm a little bit later on in the hour. But once again, D2 semifinals, Valdosta State beat Minnesota State 35-21, the final. And in the D3 quarterfinals out in Pennsylvania, Bethel on the road at Susquehanna. Susquehanna went into Collegeville and beat St. John's a week ago. Well, they beat Bethel. They came from behind to do it, 24-21, and we'll have a game report before 5 on that from Austin Legesse at Bethel as well. But another great run for the Royals under first-year head coach Mike McElroy, who joined us earlier in the week. We had him on Monday night when I was sitting in for Henry Lake on the Lake Show. So Minnesota State falls in the D2 semis. Bethel falls in the D3 quarterfinals. Meanwhile, there are three regional teams in action in the FCS playoffs, and they're all doing pretty well. In Brookings today, South Dakota State rolled over Incarnate Word 55-14. Jacks were up 31-rip at halftime in the cold in Brookings. They're on the way to the semifinals. At the half in Fargo, North Dakota State leading Mercer 24-7. And in Vermilion, South Dakota, at the Dakota Dome, South Dakota State beat or leading UC Davis late in the third, 21-14. There was one quarterfinal game on Friday, and Montana State rolled over Idaho 52-19. So you're up to date on some college football. By the way, Army-Navy playing in Landover, Maryland, the home of the Washington Commanders and Navy, leading number 22 Army 21-10. That is the big game of the day in FBS. Of course, the playoff is set. And by the way, Alabama got left out. imagine that. 422. We're going to talk little hoops, Timberwolves basketball, and more. Kevin Lynch joins us from FanDuel Sports Network. Kev, good to visit with you. Happy holidays.
Yeah, good to hear your voice, Steve. Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, saw you pregame, halftime, postgame. Kev, I've said it before.
I know what you're
going to
say.
You stay in phenomenal shape. You look like you could play. I've said it before, but man, you're like Dick Clark, just an ageless wonder.
this is an early Christmas present you're giving.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, let me say thanks, Steve. That's nice of you to say.
Yeah.
If I got out on a court, you know, if we were in one of the Lifetime gyms and we were playing and you wanted to throw some elbows and work me over, you wouldn't be very impressed once we started playing some hoops one-on-one.
Now, you still play tennis, and I tried to get you on the show a week ago, or maybe I was sitting in for Henry. I guess I can't remember. But you said, hey, I got a USTA match, and did you crush your opponent that day?
I'm trying to think, what day was that?
Maybe a week ago today. Yeah.
Week ago today. I've actually been I'm playing on four different USTA teams right now, so I'm getting a lot of tennis in. And so I don't win every match, and it's always doubles. I rarely play singles, but doubles has turned out to be just a lot of fun. And so I'm winning most of the time, but some of these dudes out there in the Twin Cities can play some good tennis, so I don't win every time. But I've been winning a lot. I'll just leave it at that.
And I know you've been into this for a long time. I mean, you have played for years.
You know, it's funny about that is, yeah, I have. My mom used to play tennis, and she used to teach tennis when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
And so, and you know, when I was young, probably like you, Steve, you know, it's like I just played all the sports. I played football all the way through high school. I played baseball growing up and played tennis because of my mom. My oldest brother liked to play golf, so I used to, you know, swing the golf club a little bit. And then, of course, basketball, too. So I was playing. We used to play boot hockey in the wintertime in the driveway.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, we were just kind of doing everything. And so as far as tennis, when everything got shut down 4 years ago, one of my good high school buddies, he's a girls tennis coach. And so him and I are pretty even as far as tennis. So we started that spring of 2020 when it started to warm up a little bit. We were just playing tennis a little bit outside because no one's working. Everything was shut down. And we played all spring, summer, and into the fall. So for about 6 months, we played once or twice a week. And then when the weather started to get cold that fall, I started to get into the USTA stuff. So I enjoy it. I enjoy being active. I've always loved watching tennis, professional tennis, and now I'm playing a lot. So it's been a good transition away from basketball, actually.
Yeah, and it once again, good to see you on FanDuel Sports Network. Timberwolves do get a win last night. Number one, LeBron James not with the team. And the one thing you can say about LeBron throughout his career, he has generally answered the bell. Now he's getting long in the tooth, near the end of his career, dealing with a foot injury, maybe some personal things, is away from the team. But you got to give him credit. Over the course of his long career, he's generally been there and been pretty durable.
No, that, you know, regardless of what you think, you know, some people, they don't like LeBron, but he's been a great player for a long time, and he's turned into a bit of a polarizing guy, I guess, in some ways.
Sure.
But that just kind of comes to the territory with being a great player for so long. But you're spot on. The guy has played a lot like how Jordan was. You know, when you've become like an icon of the sport, you know, throughout the decades, he's one of the greats. You know, if you have some intelligence, you feel like, God, I have a responsibility to get out there as much as I possibly can, and it's a part of the NBA product, you know. And people want to see him play. Now, okay, he's almost 40, and you get injured, and you still have to worry about getting your rest and making sure you're healthy for the rest of the season. So I understand that. But Yeah, give the guy a lot of credit. He plays, and he's played, you know, he playing through dings and different injuries, and he plays through a lot. So, for sure, give him credit.
Yeah, and one of the other legends, the late Kobe Bryant, if memory serves, you know, he would play even on the road in Minneapolis on a Tuesday night. You know, Kobe would suit up and go out there because I know there's load management and all of that, but this might be some fans' only opportunity to see that legend play. And you get the sense that that meant something to Jordan, meant something to Bryant, and now James. And I'm sure he is not happy that he needs to be away from the floor because, you know, once again, when you see these, you know, all-time greats, it comes far and few between.
Well, yeah, I think Jordan has publicly said that, Steve, like through the years, you know, like I need to be out there to play. And the team, not only are we trying to win the game, and that's, they feel responsible for, you know, getting a good playoff position so they can, you know, potentially win a championship. But, and then you hear stories of dudes from like Japan or all over the world that fly into Chicago or Minneapolis if they're Timberwolves fans and they want to see these guys play. You know, and so it's some guys, you know, every chance you can get, you're sitting out, you're resting and da da da. But those very top guys, you know, that, and plus, you know, you look at a guy like LeBron James, he's got so many business interests and he's got a lot of, you know, a lot of pressure on him and a lot of he's getting pulled in a lot of directions. So, and I know Kevin Durant has been like this too. And he has said things like, it's my refuge. When I get to go out there and perform and do what I do best, it's a way to kind of get away from the other stresses of my life. And I think that's another reason that LeBron James is always getting out there and playing is because it's fun and it's a way to kind of disconnect from whatever else you're dealing with in the rest of your life.
In the game last night, the Lakers minus James, Timberwolves found a way to get it done. I wouldn't say it was their best performance, but it's one of those you take it and you move on, and they get San Antonio on the road on Sunday. But, Kev, big picture, are you seeing signs this team is heading after a very up-and-down start to the season, some very disappointing stretches, that this team is headed in the right direction?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the issue I kind of have with how the Wolves have played up to this point is it just, you know, some teams, some really good teams, like the Wolves, are one of the better teams in this league. We all know it. And I mean, the record doesn't maybe indicate that. But, you know, with how things shook out last year, and basically, you know, very similar roster to this year without, obviously, Towns. But, you know, I just think these guys are – they're dealing with a lot of different things, and that's kind of the disappointment, I think, of the season so far. Now, it can turn around, but like in the pregame press conference, Chris Finch was talking before the game last night, and he was just kind of – somebody asked him a question like, oh, you know, where do you think you guys are at? And he just kind of rattled off a few different issues that the team has kind of been dealing with, and they just – they're not – it's not like one thing is going on. They can't rebound or they can't make threes or whatever. It's a variety of things, and some of them aren't connected with each other. So it's just that makes it even more challenging. If it's just one thing you're dealing with, and once you solve that problem, then your team is ready to go. But so there's issues there that they need to clean up, and it's kind of been up and down. It's like they play well offensively, but then they don't play well defensively, and then it's the opposite the next game, and then within games it's kind of an up and down affair. So they're for sure playing better than they were 2-3 weeks ago, and they're winning games now, and that's good, but you know, there's still a lot left to be on the table, I think, as far as what this team can be and what they can do. So it's there's a lot of work to be done.
Yeah, and then on the road to San Antonio for the game on Sunday, and then we close in on Christmas. And you really feel like all the games on Christmas Day and that NBA showcase, I know the NFL's kind of stepping on that with two games this year, but it feels like, okay, I know it's regular season and all the games count, but then that feels like gold time in this league.
Well, yeah, that's kind of intentional. It's that Christmas Day where they have, I don't even know, 5 games in a row or whatever they do now. They used to have like 1 game, and then they just kind of kept building on it. And yeah, because the NFL starts to, I suppose at that point, you know, it's starting to wind down the regular season, the playoffs, and then the Super Bowl in February. So it's the NBA's turn to kind of take center stage. And NBA's done a great job. I mean, it's easy to say, now I'm kind of an extreme example because, you know, what I do for a living, and I played basketball in the NBA, whatever. But, you know, I've found myself watching a lot of those games throughout Christmas Day. So it's just a fun, I suppose it's like watching Detroit and Dallas play on Thanksgiving. I just get used to, you know, enjoying Christmas with my family and then turning into a basketball fan the rest of the day, because it's sometimes it's kind of just a lot of quiet time. So watch some basketball. But, yeah, the NBA's done a great job at selling their product, and that's kind of day one, really, of when it's time to get real serious is Christmas Day.
Timberwolves and Mavericks on Christmas Day, and that is a 1:30 game. Really a great time slot for Timberwolves and Mavericks rematch of the NBA's Western Conference Finals. Hey, Kev, always good to visit with you. Merry Christmas to your family, and hopefully we can visit again soon.
Hey, Steve, one more thing. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I always enjoy our conversations, and it'd be fun to talk about how Novak Djokovic hired Andy Murray as his
coach.
Did you see that?
I didn't see that. Murray, yeah. A great career in his own right, and Djokovic, the GOAT, certainly among the men for sure.
Yeah. So that's maybe a future nugget of conversation
we
can have if we talk tennis. But great to hear your voice, Steve. Merry Christmas, and hopefully I'll hear from you soon.
Yeah, and maybe we'll do an Australian Open preview, Kev.
That's a good idea. Let's do it. That sounds good.
Yeah.
You and I, Steve, we need to have a show. You and I, like on the weekends or something, and talk all sorts of sports. You lead the charge, but I can help you out.
I'm willing to grab a hold of a big star like you, and ride on your coattails. That's for sure. All right, Kev. See you down the road. There he is, Kevin Lynch, FanDuel Sports Network. We're late to the weather break. Lindsey Brown, our producer, probably yelling at me off mic. We'll break now. We'll do the weather. We'll get into the scores. We'll get into those game reports. Bethel in D3, Falls in Pennsylvania. Minnesota State in D2, Falls down in Georgia. We'll get into all of that here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. Thanks so much for joining us on this Saturday, a sports Saturday here at News Talk, 830-WCCO. Lindsey Brown is our producer, and joining us on the line is Austin Legesse, Bethel Sports Information Director. Royals on the road at Susquehanna, Division III quarterfinals today, and the Royals came up just short today, Austin. It looks like they came from behind to win it.
Yeah, and Steve, if you look up the definition of heartbreak in the dictionary, this one might be in there as kind of a cinnamon. Bethel thought they had what was going to be, let's start where it ended. Bethel thought what they would have, it was a 30-yard, a game-winning touchdown catch by Joey Kidder in the end zone as time has expired. That play, unfortunately, though, was negated by a whole offensive holding call on the right side of the line. Then Bethel made one last lateral play from their own 45-yard line and couldn't get anywhere close to the end zone. They lose this one to sixth-ranked Susquehanna, 24-21. Second week in a row, as you've mentioned, that the Riverhawks have been in a three-point game, I should say. Looking at some of the numbers and what was this record-breaking season for the Bethel offense, Cooper Drews today finished 33 of 45 with 248 passing yards. He did throw one touchdown, making the single-season record now for the Royals, 43 touchdown passes. On the running game, Aaron Ellingson in this final game as a Royal rushed it 14 times for 62 yards with one touchdown. His 19 rushing touchdowns this season comes up one shy of the single-season record. He finishes with just over 1,000 rushing yards, the most by a Bethel running back since 2018. We can't go without talking about that wide receiver duo of Mike and Nywald, Joey Kidder. Nywald, a senior out of Fridley, tied a program single-game record today, 16 catches for him. He brought in 154 receiving yards with a touchdown. He had 52 catches in the postseason this year. That's a new D3 tournament record. On the other side, the fifth-year wide receiver out of New Richmond, Wisconsin, I should say, is Joey Kidder. He capped out his Bethel incredible career today, 11 catches, 78 yards. He'll finish with a single-season record, 1,386 yards. Nywald, just a yard shy of tying him on that single-season record, 1,385. Defensive side of the ball, Nate Farm and Carter Johnson today both had career-high 12 tackles, while the All-Region Defensive Player of the Year, Matt Young, and then Lineman of the Year in the MIAC, Caden DeWall, each had 11. DeWall, we should note, ends his Bethel career with a single-season record, 21.5 sacks this year. Just an unbelievable front for Bethel on the defensive side of the ball. All right, Chief, let's just get into the game real quick here. Bethel went up 7-0 on an Aaron Ellington touchdown on Bethel's opening drive of the first quarter. Susquehanna came back, tied it up with a one-yard run. That was after converted a couple fourth downs. Bethel goes into the break leading 14-7 after David Giebley has an 8-yard rush with about 3 minutes left in the second, and Bethel gets a stop on defense. Head now to the third quarter. Susquehanna ties it up 14-14. They go over the top, 18-yard pass with about 7:51 left to go in the third. Mike and Nywald came up big on this drive for Bethel with the fourth quarter just starting, running out of the back of the end. He's able to get a toe down, makes a 16-yard grab in the back of the end zone. Bethel goes up 21-14. Now, here's where things get a little bit interesting. A couple punts that were muffed by Bethel, they were able to recover. Nywald ends up getting the ball stripped on Bethel's next drive, and the defense gets another stop. They force Susquehanna to a 35-yard field goal, making it 21-17, 8 minutes left to go. Bethel then, offense just couldn't get that first down that they really needed, and so the Riverhawks end up getting the ball back with about 3 minutes left. They are able to go over the top, 42-yard pass. That sets up a first down and goal from the one-yard line. Bethel gets two stops there, but a timeout sets up the Riverhawks to make a nice play on the left side. They run it in, 38 seconds left in the game. That was Susquehanna's first and only lead of the day. Bethel did get one more shot, as we mentioned at the top of this, and unfortunate that a holding call brings back what could have been a game-winning touchdown for Joey Kidder. And as Bethel was searching to go into the semifinals for the first time since 2010, Bethel will end 11-3 under first-year head coach Mike McElroy, and I'd say it's a heck of a year both offensively and defensively, Steve.
Yeah, great, great season to go that deep into the playoffs and play them right down to the wire on the road. Once again, congrats to Bethel and Austin. Thanks for all your help this season.
Hey, thanks, Steve. Appreciate you letting me be a part of something small here in the Twin Cities area, and appreciate all you do for D3 football.
Yeah, well, thank you. And once again, the final score there, D3 quarterfinals in Pennsylvania. Susquehanna beat Bethel 24-21 to end the Royals' season. When we come back, we'll get a game report on the D2 semifinals today. Minnesota State on the road at Valdosta State, and the Mavericks come up short. Play-by-play man Aaron Worm for the Mavericks will have that game report momentarily. Update Army-Navy game in Landover, Maryland today. Navy trying to pull the upset, now up 21-13 in the fourth. Army just got a field goal once again. Navy leading Army 21-13 in the fourth. And we'll have another look at that FCS scoreboard quarterfinals this weekend. North Dakota State, South Dakota State, South Dakota, all in action today. We'll have those scores coming up here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. All right, Aaron, thanks again for all your help this season following the Mavericks. Once again, they come up short at Valdosta State, 35-21. But the great, great run. We talked about what they had to do. They had to beat Northern Sun champ Augustana in the opening round of the playoffs, then get number one seed in the region, CSU Pueblo, win there, then take down a very good Bemidji State team in Mankato in the third round, and then went to Valdosta to take on the number one overall seed today. And we had Todd Hoffner on the show Monday night. I was sitting in for Henry Lake on the Lake Show and had a nice chat with Todd, and he said that no doubt a tall order to go on the road and try and win your fourth in a row. Most years for Minnesota State, you get three and you go to the title game, but not when you have to play on that opening weekend. In the past, Minnesota State has been the top seed in the regional and has been able to parlay that into trips out of the championship game. But once again, another a great year. So Minnesota State falls in the D2 playoffs 35-21, and in the D3 playoffs, Bethel falls to Susquehanna in Pennsylvania 24-21. A couple other scores I want to get in here before we go to the break, and that is the Wild bounce back. They got walloped by Edmonton the other night at the XL Energy Center, but they were able to bounce back and get a 4-1 win in a matinee over the Flyers, a rare Saturday matinee at the XL Energy Center. It seems as though there's more weekend matinees in the Eastern Conference than there is in the Western Conference, but after losing to the Oilers 7-1 on Thursday night, they come back and beat the Flyers today on home ice 4-1, and this long homestand continues. Vegas in on Sunday. That's a 5 o'clock start at the X. Lindsey Brown, Golden Knights in town. Are you going to be in the building for that?
I don't think so. I've had my fair share of watching hockey over the last 5 years, especially those pesky Golden Knights.
Yeah, and then the trip continues. Florida in town on Wednesday night. That is a late start. And then the Utah Hockey Club.
Soon to be Yeti, Steve. That's what the betting money is saying. I hope they go with the Yeti. I like the mythological theme that the NHL is really going full steam ahead with.
And then maybe fans can get a deal on the premium coolers.
Oh, right. Well. Oh, my God. They might be just $200 for a cup now, Steve. Have you seen the prices on those things?
Yeah, they are not cheap. Oh. They do not give those things away. But I would think if they go that route, there's got to be a tie-in of some sort, wouldn't?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, that was kind of assumed when the Kraken came into the league as well, where there was a kind of a Kraken. Was it spiced rum? I remember seeing the commercials for it. And so the partnership potential just off the charts, Steve.
Yeah, so long homestand for the Wild. Once again, clunker Thursday, good win today. Vegas Golden Knights in tomorrow, and then as I mentioned, Florida in on Wednesday night. That is an 8:30 start, tough start time on a school night, and then Utah in next Friday night before they make the quick trip to Winnipeg on Saturday. So we got a break. We have all the news, all the weather coming up at 5, and then still a whole lot more coming up on the program today. Dan Hayes will join us from The Athletic. We'll talk Twins ownership. And then a little bit later on, we'll visit with Jess Myers about the Wild win today.